It is 4 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. A very good afternoon to you, and welcome to the crossover right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. I am your host, Abigail, and we will be together from this hour until the hour of 6 this afternoon or this evening. Yes, however you prefer to take the hour of 6, if it's in the afternoon, it will be in the afternoon, and if it's in the evening, it will be in the evening. And I've always explained why I usually say afternoon or evening. You know, I come from the part of the country where, you know, the sun sets very early. So round about this time, you can see that it's now in the late afternoon. So by 5, there's no way you can say 5 in the afternoon. It's now 5 in the evening. But when you come this side, it's totally different. 5, it's still late afternoon. 6 is still late afternoon. But by 6, where I come from, it's kind of like dark even. So, yeah, we will be together in the next 2 hours. Allow me to thank Tatena Luvanda for keeping you guys company. It is from the hour of 1 right up until this hour, where I do take over and be with you guys. And today we have a very, very lovely discussion that we are going to have. That is me and my lovely guest, who I will introduce in a bit. Yes, she's been here before. Yes, it's a she. She's been here before. So we will have a very lovely conversation, and I hope you will enjoy it, right? Before we get to that, just allow me to sell ourselves. We are a business, and I usually remind you guys that you have to buy a service for me to get paid. Yeah? So I tell you all about the services we offer. You buy and I get paid. It's that simple. So I will start off with our e-paper. I don't know if you are subscribed. If you are not yet subscribed, please do so, because you are missing out on a lot. Our e-paper provides summaries of business, economic news, and policy development in the country. And you get a copy 3 times in the week, on Mondays, on Wednesdays, as well as on Fridays. So if you are not yet subscribed, you are indeed missing out on receiving a free copy on these particular days during the week. And subscription is very easy, guys. All you have to do is save this following number, 081-204-144. That is the number, 081-204-144. You can save the number as the Villager newspaper, so it's easy for you to remember in a case where you don't subscribe immediately. And how you subscribe? You send a WhatsApp message, not a text message, not iMessage, not RCS messages. And this one is for Android users. All right. If you didn't know, now you know. Not those type of messages, but a WhatsApp message. You can write the word subscribe and wait for a response. Once you get a response, that is a notification that you have been successfully subscribed, and you will start to receive a free copy on these days that I've mentioned, Mondays, Wednesdays, as well as Fridays. Now moving to our outside broadcasting van. Our outside broadcasting van is available to come to you. I usually call it the studio on the wheels. So wherever you are, whether it's around the corners of the country or outside the country, as long as you require this particular service where we come and stream your event, and you want this particular event to be aired to a wide audience, or there is a team that is readily available, and they will come to you and make sure that your message gets across to a wide audience. And now we move to our complementary apps, such as the Imba app. We live in a very technological era where you cannot be walking around with a hymn book. It's heavy, guys. You know, it's very heavy. All you have to do is download our Imba app. We have different hymn books on the app, and it's very convenient for you. that means no more carrying around that heavy hymn book. And our Eagle FM app, a very convenient app, allows you to listen to on-air programs when you are busy doing other things. And in case you can't sit in front of a radio, you can move around, tune in, and continue listening to the live broadcasts right here on air. And also, it allows you to listen to podcasts in a case where you missed a particular show that aired whenever, could be yesterday, could be the day before that. You will be able to find the show under podcasts and you will be able to listen to that particular show. And also on our Eagle FM app, it offers an opportunity for businesses to increase their products and services due to the fact that we have a digital billboard on our app, right? So if you are looking to enhance or increase your products or service visibility across different consumers, you could contact us for that particular service for your business or service to be advertised on our digital billboard, which is on our app, right? And also our social media remains the most active in the country, and this provides an opportunity for you to enhance your product and brand visibility. So in a nutshell, that is us, Eagle FM. Remember, when you purchase a service, that guarantees a salary for me. It is now 10 past the hour of 4 o'clock. We will now go to the introductory song, welcoming you officially on the crossover. And today I decided to go back to our old theme song, you know. I usually played this song every Sundays when I started the crossover. But then I don't know what got into me. Like 2025, I just decided, no, I think I'd like to be starting with the different songs every Sundays. And then I just moved away from the tradition. But then there are times when I really miss the tradition of, you know, playing this particular sound every Sunday. But yeah, it's okay. At least I still have the opportunity to play it once in a while when I feel like doing so. And of course, without any time wasting, here is Easy Like Sunday Morning by Lionel Richie. I will see you that is on the other side, me, myself, as well as today's guest, right here on The Crossover.
Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. You see a big stone and a bottle. Yeah. Ooh, that's why I'm easy. Morning, yeah. That's why I'm easy.
wanna be high.
Is not listening because he will have a heart attack. My voice has a way of making him is it Grinch? I know I can sing, so I don't care what that man says. I know I can sing. Well, Lionel Richie, Easy Like Sunday Morning, bringing us exactly at 15 minutes. No, 16 minutes. You see, the problem with the clock in the studio is that, well, there is time on our program that we use for playing adverts called Solea. So Solea has its own time, and Solea is saying it's 17 past, right? And then the time on the computer itself is saying 16 past. So I am looking at the screen and there's two different times every time. So now I always have to think, okay, which one am I saying? If I used Solea's time before, I will get confused when I look at the computer's time and I'm like, oh, okay, no, I don't know which one. So this is why sometimes you pick up that I get confused at how many minutes after the hour are they, right? So the clock on the computer is saying 16 past. Solea is saying 18 past. Yes. Woo, guys. Anyways, we continue. If you just tuned in, welcome on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I almost forgot to wish those who are celebrating their birthdays today to have a lovely birthday. And I always encourage you to remember that it's not about, you know, the day your birthday falls on. I know a lot of us don't like having birthdays on a Sunday because you're like, what can I do on a Sunday? I'm just going to stay home and do nothing. Mm-mm. Make sure you enjoy. If your birthday is today, make sure you enjoy, because it only comes once in a year until next year again. So you don't even have to feel like it's a Sunday. There's nothing you can do. You can do something, you know, meaningful, have a braai, go out for something, go enjoy, go eat. Just don't go consume alcohol. If you are consuming, just take one, you know, not two, one for control. Because tomorrow is a Monday and we need to be productive. We don't have to be hangover. We don't want blue Mondays. No, 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 no. So happy birthday to you. And I hope your loved ones, your friends, they help you celebrate this special day and make the most out of it. Yeah? Yeah. So last week was also my guest's birthday. Unfortunately, his was on a Monday. So, you know, I was like, okay, I can't wish you now on a Sunday because your birthday is the next day and it won't make sense. So I couldn't wish her. But yeah, she's here. Let me just wish her a happy belated birthday. I wished her a happy birthday on that very same day, but I feel like it would have been lovely to do it, you know, on air. It's nice, you know. I want you guys to wish me happy birthday on air when my birthday comes. I want to hear those, you know, birthday wishes on air. Yes, I'd like to hear that. I know I speak on radio, but sometimes it's also nice to kind of like hear your name, you know, being called on air. So, welcome. Happy belated birthday on air.
Thank you, Abigail. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be back here. It feels like it's been forever since we've been back here. Will you do me the honors of introducing me this time?
yes, please. Okay, this is Ellie Ogwanga. She was here, I think it was, which season was that? Before winter? It was right before winter, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's the season before winter. Now, I don't know which one is the season before winter, guys. Is it summer?
Autumn, I think. Yeah, that would be autumn. Sorry, it's been a while since we've been in school, so please forgive our lack of knowledge on seasons.
One thing I know is that in Namibia, we only have two seasons, guys, and we need to be realistic about it. You know, we only have summer. After summer, we have winter.
Exactly.
After winter, we have back to summer again, mm-hmm. you know. Those things of autumn and spring, I know it's spring. Like now we are going into spring after winter. But it's summer for us,
yeah,
to be honest.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's already getting summer. Very hot.
Yes. So we only have two seasons, to be honest, in Namibia, summer and winter. But yeah, so Ellie was here before winter, and I think that's why it feels so long. It feels like last year.
It does.
Since you've been here.
I'm so happy to be back in the studio. Thank you for having me again, Abigail.
Yes.
For those that haven't met me on the last episode, my name is Ellie Ogwanga. So I am just an outspoken, energetic, life-loving and fun-loving 20-something-year-old who is very passionate about people and all the issues that affect our people. So by profession, I'm a medical laboratory scientist. And during our last segment, we actually discussed, you know, I was asked that question every time I'm anywhere, what is a medical laboratory scientist? And I had basically explained it as we are the scientists, the heroes that are behind the backgrounds of a hospital who actually test what exactly is wrong with a patient. So when a doctor comes and says, oh, you've been diagnosed with an infection or you have a specific type of cancer, we are the people who did the work behind the scenes to get you that diagnosis. So I always like to emphasize on this point because we are really unsung heroes. And seeing that Heroes Day is coming up this week, I definitely want to make sure that we are getting the credit that we deserve. So yeah, that's me, I think, in a nutshell. And I'm just happy to be here today.
You see, this is the reason why I usually give the guest an opportunity to do an introduction, because you guys do justice to yourselves. Did you guys just listen to what happened right now? She gave me the opportunity to introduce her, and I was like, oh, by the way, guys, it's Ellie Ogwanga. And then it ended there. And then I don't know if you realize, you're like, ah, oh, let me just,
I was like, let me just do it myself.
And, you know, she did herself the honors of introducing herself. And this is why I always, you know, preach right before I introduce the guest. Like, I'm giving the opportunity to the guest to introduce themselves, because I believe they will do justice by doing that, not me as the host.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, if I have to be invited to anybody's show, I think I would want to go and introduce myself, you know. Do an honors to myself so that the listeners can actually know, okay, so this is Abby girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This is who we're dealing with today.
Yes. So you're welcome, Ellie.
Thank you so much. I think you've been welcome back. And
yes, welcome back. Obviously, this is now home. When you go back to a place for the second time or the third time, now that is now another home for you.
Definitely.
It's no more an unfamiliar space or a place. So today we are going to talk about navigating who you are in the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very, very interesting topic.
Absolutely.
That we are having today. You know, we live in an age of constant connection and digital curation. Finding and understanding your true self can feel like an overwhelming journey, to be honest. So today we are going to have a discussion about the unique challenges of young people grappling with their image, you know, from social media influence, on social image, to the pressures of career choices, as well as cultural expectations. So that is what we are going to be diving in with Ellie today. You know, we live in a very, I don't want to say difficult time compared to the olden era, where I don't ever think people back in the days really struggled to know their identity or to be able to differentiate their identity from the next person.
Yeah.
But in these times where we live in now, it's really difficult.
Definitely.
To know who you are as a person.
Definitely.
It's really difficult because there's a lot of things happening around you, and you will find yourself either comparing yourself or trying to relate to all these things at once. And then at the end of the day, they create a gray area, which is not clear as to who you are as a person, as an individual.
Absolutely. I think this is a very timely conversation because I do think we have increasing incidences of identity crisis, especially amongst our young people. You know, being young, especially when you're in your 20s and early 30s, I think you're already struggling to find who you are. And like you said, all these pressures from the curated lifestyles that we see on the internet and what everybody else is doing, it just makes it more difficult to find out who you truly are, because most of the time you're stuck trying to be the version of yourself that you think people are going to like or people are going to relate the most to. So I'm very excited about this conversation that we're having, and I'm hoping that someone walks away with something, you know, to implement in their own lives, or even just to kind of step back and say, wow, who am I really? Is the identity that I'm portraying or that I believe of myself, is that really who I am, or am I putting on a facade, or am I still trying to learn who I am, you know, because it is, I think, a lifelong journey when it comes to identity.
Maybe you can explain to us in your own words or your own understanding or your own opinion what you think identity is.
So I would say identity is our own sense of who we truly are, right? So it's how we see ourselves, like the unique characteristics that we have that make us different from the next person. So all these characteristics are, they depend on so many things: your physical traits, your personality, your cultural background, your lived experiences, your beliefs, your values. All these different things, when they're combined, they make up a unique identity, which is basically a way that we can describe you that is very different from someone else. Like if we were to think of what is Abigail's identity, this is all the things about her that only are true for her and that set her apart from who the next person is. I would say that's identity in simple terms.
And do you think the concept of identity has changed in your lifetime?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I said, you know, identity is ever changing. You know, I don't think that your identity is the same throughout your lifetime. Yes, there are certain core values or certain, you know, aspects that are continuous and that never change about you, because that's who you are naturally. That's who God has created you to be. However, there's a lot of other aspects that change based on your experiences, your relationships, and so forth. So I definitely will say, in short, that mine have changed. especially because when you are younger, I think your identity is tied to other people a lot more, tied to the community that you come from, tied to, you know, your background in so many ways. So if you asked me to describe myself, or if you asked me, who are you really, a few years ago, I would probably describe myself based on the school that I went to, who my parents are and my siblings are, and the community I come from and all that, because that's the closest thing that we have to identity. But as you grow older, you start to really ask yourself, like, beyond all of these things,
who am I?
Who am I really? Mm-hmm. You know? So I think in that sense, while I'm still trying to find who I am, being someone, like I said, who is in their early 20s, I do have a better sense of that compared to, you know, years back when I was still defining myself according to so many other external factors that are not who I really am.
And I actually agree with you on that one. I don't like to say my age on air. So.
Abigail.
So definitely I do agree with you in the sense that indeed our identity really change through our lifetime. You know, who you were identifying yourself as a teenager is totally different from who you identify yourself as in your 20s.
Exactly.
You know, early 20s, late 20s. And also it becomes different when you reach your 30s, early 30s, late 40s, like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like identity really changes with each person's timeline as they grow, as they get experience, life, and also different aspects of themselves, you know. Because obviously me, myself, and I, if you had to ask me who I am in my teens, I would definitely, just as you said, you know, probably tell you where I'm from, who my parents are, and all. But at the end of the day, those are, they are not an individual's identity. Compared to now, if you have to ask me, Abigail, who you are, it's easy for me to tell you, I am Abigail and I'm very strong-willed.
You're definitely very strong-willed, Abigail. That's unique about you.
And it's so funny that I didn't know how strong-willed I am. It took a friend to say it to me in a very, it was a very tough time for me. Kind of like a person was breaking me. The person didn't manage to break me.
I'm so sorry you went through that, Abigail.
Yes, but I was going through something where a person was literally breaking me, and my friend came to me and she was like, I actually can't believe you are allowing this to happen to you, because how I know you, you are a very strong-willed woman. So I don't know what's happening.
Exactly.
And then, you know, those words just got stuck with me, and I was like, okay, I went back home and I really thought about it, and it actually resonated in a sense of, okay, ma'am, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You are indeed strong-willed. So
that's an interesting reflection, Abigail. And I think a lot of us can definitely relate to that, you know, a time where we were not really an authentic version of who we are, you know, and we kind of lost ourselves there for a minute. You lost your spark. You kind of forgot who you are, and you let someone else tell you who you are. And it's actually interesting because identity is not just the way that we see ourselves. I think many a times we find out about who we are through other people's experiences of us, especially those who are really close to us. I found out so many things about myself, including, you know, my speaking abilities, you know, my voice and how I can use it to inspire and empower others. I would not be sitting across from you today if it was not for so many people in my life that reinforced that. So yeah, there's definitely something very powerful about that.
And I think we should really appreciate those who are close to us, who really help us in shaping this identity at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So what do you see as the biggest drivers of that change?
So I think the biggest drivers of the change I've experienced in my identity, mostly it's just been lived experience. Hey, I think the older you get, and the more you experience, especially as an individual, because I think, again, I'm always going to relate this to your teens and, you know, before you are a young adult or an adult, a lot of the experiences that you have, they're kind of curated and they're sheltered by your parents or your community or, you know, individuals within that. But once you kind of break out of that bubble and you start to experience life for yourself, you start trying new things, going to new places, meeting new people. Over time, you start to learn more about yourself, and that also shapes your identity, because I think every person or experience that you come across, there's always something that sticks with you, you know, that you take with you, and that becomes a part of your identity. So I think for me, the biggest driver for me has just been lived experience, whether that's through, you know, digital platforms that I've experienced, people that inspired me or that I've learned things from, or even people in my real life and places I've gone to. All that lived experience, I think, ultimately has shaped how my identity has changed over the number of years.
Now that you have said that, it brings this question of, okay, a lot of us, you know, the biggest drivers of change is lived experience. But then you'll find people, despite this experience happening over and over and over and over again, there's just no change in that person's identity. What do you think could be the driving factor there?
That's interesting, hey? Because I think while we are shaped by the things that we experience or the people that we see, it's also ultimately up to us. You know, it's up to the nature of the person and how receptive they are of that change. Because also it goes back to also that how people can have the same exact experience or even come from the same background, raised by the same parents or whatever. But however, their identity or the way that they present in the world is completely different from each other. So I think it also comes down to a personal element. You know, some people are just very rigid in who they are. You know, it's some people are not as adaptable, even when it comes to their identity. They stick to who it is that they thought they've always been, even when everything around them is trying to shift them into something else, they are kind of resistant against that. So I think a huge part of that is probably just that personal aspect of, you know, how we as different people also are receptive in different ways, and we ultimately behave in different ways.
Well, the modern world offers us so many options, you know. How do you think this paradox of choice affects our ability to form a stable sense of self?
That's a very interesting one. I actually love this idea of a paradox of choice, you know. And for our listeners who maybe are not so familiar with the paradox of choice, I think usually a good example is, imagine you are, it's a hot summer's day, right? And you just want to cool down. You want to just get some of the heat off, right? So you're thinking to yourself, okay, I want some ice cream. And you walk into a store and there's about 100 different flavors of ice cream that you could choose from. So while this variety is a good thing because you could get any combination of flavors, it also kind of stunts you. You know, you become indecisive. It's more difficult for you to choose because you're like, okay, what if I choose the wrong flavor? And what if I don't enjoy it? And, you know, it basically makes it a lot more difficult for you to make a decision. So that's like a small example of what the paradox of choice is. And in the context of our modern day world, it's kind of just relating to, we see so many different people, places, and experiences, even all in one day, especially when you look at social media. By scrolling on your TikTok for 10 minutes, you will see such
a lot,
so many different portrayals of what identity looks like that you walk away and you're like, all of a sudden you are speaking a bit differently in a British accent that you never had, even though you were never in the UK. All of a sudden you like this new color because it's the in thing. You like the, you know, so in that sense, I think it makes it so difficult for us to find who we truly are because we are constantly being bombarded with so many versions of who we could be. And who different people around us or in the world are. And I think, like, going back to the point that you made about how you don't think people from the older generations had the same struggles that we do, they didn't have that element. You know, the only, let me say, the only variations they saw in identity were those that were around them, their closest community. And for, with us, we're seeing things from a global perspective. So you can just imagine how thinking of all that, all the different things that people in their 20s are doing compared to what I am doing is going to kind of stunt me and make me wonder, like, okay, is this who I should be? Mm-hmm. Am I on the right track? Am I behind? Yes. Yeah. And it's really a struggle that is so unique to us. And I think it will continue for many generations because now we have AI coming in and all these other things that are going to make it even more difficult. Mm-hmm. So I think this conversation is even more important now in this context because it's never been as difficult as it is now to mm-hmm. try to find yourself in a world that's constantly changing.
Yes.
Yeah, and definitely.
Giving so many choices and leaving you so confused as to who you are.
Yeah.
Mm. Social media platforms, for example, you know, often encourage us to curate a highlight reel.
Mm.
Always, you know, when you try to share something on social media, you will see this, like, do you want to create this into a highlight reel?
Yeah.
So what do you think psychological impacts of living in a world where we are constantly comparing our behind the scenes reality to others' highlight reels?
Mm. So it's an interesting question. I'm no therapist, obviously. I'm no psychologist. Yes. Disclaimer. So I'm going to just base this off of my own experiences, right? Mm. And I think psychologically seeing unrealistic portrayals of other people's lives is never a good thing, right? Mm. Because if you're constantly seeing only the good parts of someone's life, like you said, it's a highlight reel. No one is going to show you the moments where they are also struggling, where they are questioning themselves, or where, you know, they are making mistakes. If you're only seeing the best of people, most people in their 20s are, you know, studying and making a lot of money and in successful relationships and they're traveling and so forth. If that's what you're seeing, of course you're going to look at yourself and, okay, so what am I doing wrong that I'm not where they are or that I'm not experiencing the lifestyle that they are experiencing? So I think for me, it sets this unrealistic pressure on a lot of people our age that leaves us always feeling like we're behind,
mm-hmm.
always feeling like we are not necessarily on the right track and always feeling like we should be doing something different, you know, something closer to what other people are doing so we can have the lives that they have curated. But like you said, it's just that is a curated life. No mm-hmm. one is really living that life.
No.
And in as much as we know that, I think deep down, we know that this is not real, but because we are seeing it and because it's literally in front of us all the time, it's a bit difficult to convince ourselves and kind of go back and reflect and see, okay, yes, I've seen that people who were once my peers and maybe people I went to school with or I studied at varsity with are now living these lives according to social media. Because I mean, that's the only way we really keep up with each other these days. If I called you Abigail and I saw something on your stories or something, mm-hmm. and I saw you were celebrating, you bought a new car, right?
Yes, an Aston Martin.
An Aston Martin. And that's all I saw. Now I'm like, okay, but Abigail and I are from the same age group. How did she afford an Aston Martin? What am I doing wrong? But if I called you and actually spoke to you about it, I might find, okay, actually Abigail is now in debt because of that Aston Martin, or Abigail had to do this and this is the hardship she had to go through. And mm-hmm. you kind of get a better sense of the whole picture. But because of this digital curation, you never really get the full story. So you are now basing and comparing your lifestyle to something else that is completely false, that doesn't exist in the real world. So I think it's something that we as this modern group of young people, and not just young people, even older people, just this, our new era of the digital curation,
mm-hmm.
I think it's something we really need to be careful of and something that we need to discuss a bit more, because I'm sure these pressures get to each and every one of us in different forms. They might not always be in the most dramatic forms. It's not to say that it's only social media pressures that can make us feel like we're not doing what we should. It can also be in our everyday lives, you know, with people that we do know in real life and that we've seen succeeding or, you know, doing something that we've always wanted to do. And we don't really speak about it enough. So we're kind of just suffering in silence is what I would call it.
Mm-hmm.
So Abigail, this yes. Aston Martin of yours.
tell us a bit more. It's my dream car, you know. As a person who's alive, you need to have a dream car.
Yes.
And you need to have a reality car that you might, you know.
That's actually good advice.
One day, yes, one day on. So if you ever had to become an instant billionaire.
Uh-huh.
The dream car now.
Okay.
Yes. So you need to have that in a case where you
do become,
you know, become a billionaire or a millionaire and all of a sudden you could afford this car.
Yeah.
So for me, that is the car I would go for.
Aston Martin.
And you, do you have a dream car?
Do I have a dream car?
It's actually a fantasy. Yes.
A fantasy.
It's a fantasy. So the dream car is the one you will be able to afford one day.
Oh, okay. I see. Yes. Oh, dream car is what you can. Okay, then.
Yes. Then. A fantasy is the one you could be able to afford if you instantly became a millionaire or a billionaire. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that would make my dream car any of the Jeeps. I'm just like a Jeep girl. I love Jeeps. Oh, goodness. I love Jeeps. I love big cars, right? So I'm in my ideal world, I'll be driving a huge, huge car, like a truck of a car with huge tires so that no one on the road can bully me. Yes, that's really it. Because I'm a small girl, you know, I need to be in a big car. So that would be my dream car, right?
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking my fantasy car would be what? Like a red Ferrari?
Okay. That's nice.
Like a red Ferrari. Why? Because it's just one of those things that for me are so unreachable in my mind that I'm like, if I thought of a dream car, it would be a red Ferrari.
Definitely. That's a nice one, to be honest. Very nice. So for me, my dream car is, the thing is that I've had this one car for so long as my dream car, like for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And this is the VW GTI.
Oh, wow. That's insane.
Yes. Like, this has been my dream car for the longest time.
I've never pictured you to be a GTI girl.
Honestly speaking, like, for as long as I remember, right? I love VW.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing was, okay, if we will not be able to afford a GTI, we will go for something affordable, but it has to be VW.
Of course.
But then I don't know what happened. Like recently I've just fallen in love with Mazda CX-5. I don't know if you know it.
I'm actually not that familiar with it, but it sounds like a really good car. You should show me.
So it's an SUV and
wow.
I don't know what happened, but I've just fallen in love with this particular car and I'm like, okay, I think this is the one. I think this is the one. So this is my dream car. Trying to turn the screen to you.
Oh, wow. That's a good SUV. Hey, I can picture you in that. I actually
The red one.
I can picture you in that.
Yes.
Red is
yes.
a passionate color. I see. We all dream of driving red cars.
I've never dreamt of driving a red car, but with this particular car, I'm definitely going for the red one.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, this is my dream car.
That's a beautiful car.
My fantasy car is the Aston Martin.
Absolutely.
Always has been. I don't think that one it will ever change. I don't think so.
And until you get the fantasy car one day and now you're like, okay, I need a new fantasy car.
Maybe, but if I have to change, I don't know. Maybe GMC. Do you see those cars they use in the movies a lot? GMC?
No.
If you watch movies or series, it's usually the particular car brand that they use a lot.
I think I'm the wrong person to talk to about this because, wow, I'm really not a car girl like that. I wish I was, but I really just am not for the life of me.
I am a car girl. You should see me debating with men.
Wow.
About cars.
So you're that invested?
Yes.
Okay, you know what, Abigail, before we derail further, let's get back to the main topic and tell people about their identities. That was just like an icebreaker.
Yes. So with the rise of AI and digital avatars, how do you think our relationship with our own physical and authentic selves might change in the coming years?
You know what? I can't even anticipate how much AI is going to change the game for everybody, because I think the biggest thing that AI is doing is that it's taking what we just discussed and, you know, curating your digital presence to another level,
mm-hmm.
because there's no authenticity in any of the AI related content, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a very scary thing because if we are struggling to relate to people on social media simply because they are curating their lives, now imagine when we bring in artificial intelligence, which means that in the very near future, some of the content creators or the people that we see on our screens the most aren't even going to be real people. And that in itself is something that's very worrisome. So if we thought the expectations were very unrealistic now, then you can only imagine how much more unrealistic it's going to get when we have actual artificial presence on the internet. So I think when it comes to digital avatars or digital creators and how they're going to ultimately affect our relationships and even our physical presence, I think we're going to hit a new level of people who are really struggling mentally.
Yes.
In order to, because of these pressures, in order to keep up with these false pretenses that we already see, I think people are really going to struggle because imagine looking at your screen and not being able to relate to anything that's on there. It makes you feel isolated. It makes you feel like you're the only one that's experiencing what you're experiencing. And at the end of the day, that just puts us further away from each other. Because I think I always have this conversation with people where it's like, we already are suffering from the side effects of the pandemic, which changed how we view relationships for forever, basically. So on top of the digital curation and social media, we have the recovering from being so isolated for, what was it, a period of 2 years, two and a half, 3 years. And I can only imagine, seeing that we're not even fully recovered from that, how isolating social media will be. You know, I've been seeing more and more these stories about how people are using AI as therapists and using AI as friends, like AI friends, basically, and having, you know, platonic and non-platonic relationships with their AI. And that is a pandemic. That just tells you how lonely we are as a generation, that we are opting for AI, something we know is not real, over real relationships. That just that picture in itself should worry you, especially the therapist as AI. That still blows my mind. I can only imagine. I can only imagine how much trouble we're going to get into over the next few years. I'm not saying AI is all bad. There's so many great opportunities that AI brings, but I think it's only going to have a detrimental effect on our relationships and on our self-image when we are introducing literal artificial people.
And you know, it's funny because today I was having that conversation with my friend, in terms of that it's now difficult to think, just to think on your own, to try and use your brain without actually thinking, why am I struggling? Let me just put this thing in AI.
Yes.
That is now the reality we are now living in.
Absolutely.
Which is very dangerous to our identity at the end of the day. Because if you can't use your brain to think, just to think.
And it's dangerous because, you know, creative expression is a way of expressing identity for a lot of people, right? And AI is making that infinitely easier. You know, making a flyer. Making a video for promotion. Literally anything that you can think of. That used to be, it used to take creative people to do that. But now even I can do it with AI. So you can just imagine how it's going to be taking away from the creative industry as a whole. You know, the creative industry is about to change drastically. It's not going to take passion, creativity, or authenticity to be a viral YouTuber or a great, software developer anymore. Anyone can do it, and that becomes a very dangerous precedent, honestly, for people's self-image.
And I feel like more conversations really need to be have around artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Because it's really blowing out of proportion. And I feel like it's really blowing out at a very speed, at a very high speed.
Yes, we cannot keep up. We are struggling to keep
up. Yes. So obviously it seems that it's impossible to try and contain AI at this point where we are. So probably discussions around it, will be more viable in terms of educating, awareness, you know, bringing awareness to people as to how this thing is dangerous to them as individuals, you know.
You know, I actually want to, you know, what you're talking about is bringing me to another important point that I wanted to make about social media and AI in this digital world, right? Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, right, your identity was molded and still is molded by your experiences, right?
Yeah.
So as a child, the way that you played and you danced and you sang and you did all these things, it helped you discover like, oh, maybe I love to dance. Maybe I love to sing. Maybe I like to do this. Maybe this is who I am. But I feel like slowly but surely, that experience that we had as children is being robbed from the next generations.
Yeah.
You literally find a young person these days who doesn't do anything, no activities, no experiences. They sit in front of their tablet the entire day. All they know are TikTok dances, which are very entertaining. Mm-hmm. However, how are you going to find your identity or your expression when you never even get to practice that expression? You never even put yourself in position to learn these new and different things. It creates a very dangerous situation where everybody is going to be so similar because we're all watching the same content or we're all listening to the same 5 songs. We're all reading the same 5 books. Mm-hmm. And ultimately it makes it so much more difficult to be a unique individual in an era that kind of forces you to be more like everybody else, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that's very dangerous. It really, I worry about what individuality is going to look like in the next few years.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, I know.
It is 6 minutes to the hour of 5 o'clock. And if you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can come through on 083-288-401 and just share with us. How do you navigate who you are in the modern world? That is 083-288-401. And we will go for a musical break. We will come continue on the other side. Do not go away.
Okay.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel, of that I'm sure. She smiled at me on the subway. She was with another man, but I won't lose no sleep on that, 'cause I've got a plan. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. I saw your face in a crowded place, and I don't know what to do, 'cause I'll never be with you. Mm-hmm.
when she thought up that I should be with you. But it's time to face the truth. I will never be with.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You tell all the boys no, makes you feel good, yeah. I know you're out of my league, but that won't scare me away, oh no. You've carried on so long, you couldn't stop if you tried it. You've built your wall so high that no one could climb it. But I'm gonna try, would you let me see beneath your beautiful, would you let me see beneath your puppet? Take it off now, girl, take it off now, girl. I wanna see inside, would you let me see beneath your beautiful tonight?
fall, would you let me see beneath your perfect? Take it off now, girl, take it off now, girl, 'cause I wanna see inside. Would you let me see beneath your beautiful tonight?
It is the sounds of Labyrinth as well as Emily Sunday on this one titled Beneath Your Beautiful. And before this one, we had James Blunt also come through with You Are Beautiful. Now 4 past the hour of 5 o'clock. A very good afternoon to you and welcome. If you're just tuned in, you are listening to The Crossover on this beautiful Sunday afternoon right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, the I that is with me, Abigail, and Ellie, who is our guest for today. Yes, before the musical break, well, we really touched on a few things. If you missed on that, do catch the podcast that is from tomorrow. It will be available tomorrow, both on our Eagle FM app as well as our Eagle FM website. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back again. It was a very nice musical break. I really loved the music we were playing.
Yes, the Sunday music. You know, we all know that Sundays are for lovers.
Exactly. Mm. So we really need to make sure the lovers are feeling good.
Yes, 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 yes. And also us here in studio, since we are missing out on the Sunday for lovers, we are here keeping you guys company.
Exactly.
We also have to enjoy the music. So now we continue with our conversation. Ellie?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we are living in a time of rapid social change. How can people navigate evolving social norms and expectations while staying true to their own core values?
That's a very good question, actually, because I think we do need to equip our people with tools to help them navigate, like you said, an ever-evolving world, especially in terms of social norms, right? Mm-hmm. So I think first you want to start by really identifying what your core values are, right? Because I think it's easier to stick to your core values when you know what that is. So what are your non-negotiables? What are the things about yourself that you are not willing to change, right? Is it honesty? Is it integrity? Is it kindness? You know, is it your strong-willedness, like, mm-hmm. like Abigail, who's strong-willed, you know? Is it, is it your, which part of your authentic self do you really want to preserve regardless of everything? So that's what I want you to figure out first, right? Mm-hmm. And once you figure that out, then you want to anchor yourself in those core values. So you put boundaries in place to avoid being in situations where you are going away from that. So if you really pride yourself in being an honest person and a person who has integrity, then that's really the first step. You tell yourself, okay, so what do I do to make sure that I never steer away from being an honest person? What mm-hmm. do I need to, which situations do I need to avoid? What kind of people do I need to surround myself with? What boundaries am I putting in place to keep myself from finding myself in a dishonest state, right? So I think that's one of the first things that you need to really figure out for yourself. Because I think a lot of people, you know, I think it goes back to the saying that goes something like, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything, right?
Mm, yes.
And that's exactly kind of what I'm trying to enforce or reinforce in this conversation, is that you need to find out what are the core parts of who you are. Even if you haven't figured out who you completely are, you don't really know everything about yourself. Because like I said, it's a lifelong journey. But there are certain things that you know that you take pride in being, mm-hmm. or certain things that you know about yourself that you never want someone else to take away from you. So that's what I really want our listeners to identify. Mm-hmm. And then once we've done that, I think you then be open to anything else, right? Because once you know what your core values are, the rest of your identity, for the most part, is going to be ever changing. So you want to open yourself up to new experiences, to trying things that are maybe out of your comfort zone, like me coming to Eagle FM. Every time I come to this place, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone completely. But that's how you learn about yourself.
But you look very comfortable.
Hey, you know, fake it till you make it, right? Yes. Fake it till you make it. So open yourself up to opportunities that will allow you to grow, that will allow you to learn, and don't let fear basically ground you or, you know, make you stuck in who you think you are, right? Because like mm-hmm. I said, your identity is ever evolving. So, yeah, I think those are the two things that I'll really advise young people to do, or anyone at any stage of life. So first, yeah. you need to know what parts of yourself are non-negotiable and how do you set boundaries to make sure that that's who you remain, right? And then secondly, you open yourself up to more experiences that are aligned with who you think you need to be, obviously, not just random things. Because I think, you know, as a young person who is trying to find myself, I find myself so consumed by everything, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to try everything, even if it's not something that I've necessarily been interested in, because it's an opportunity, I'll jump at it, right? So I think there is that kind of balance where it's like, you don't want to overwhelm yourself yeah. with things, you know, that don't really contribute to finding out who you truly are, or they don't really contribute to anything positive, right? Mm-hmm. However, you do want to open yourself up to the things that you know that you've always wanted to try, or the things that people around you who really care about you have said, you know what, you might be really good at this, you know, try it. Mm-hmm. Give it a try. And I think the more you learn, the more you're able to kind of eliminate what are the things that really aren't a part of who I am, or I don't want them to be a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And what are the things I can explore more of so that I can eventually get to finding, you know, my authentic self within that.
Mm-hmm. For me, one thing that I've learned is that, a lot of people nowadays want to be social influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And one thing that I honestly really realized as an individual is that I don't think I ever want to be a social influencer.
Wow, that's never. Interesting. So how did you get to that? You know, how did you get to that?
I think it's just, you know, seeing how everybody is just going into this influencing thingy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I just asked myself, if you had an opportunity to become an influencer, mm-hmm. you know, would you take it? And I immediately answered myself that no, I wouldn't. It's not something that I want to do ever at all. You know, it's also the same thing with trends. I don't do trends.
Mm.
I don't do trends. And, it's one thing that I am really proud of as an individual when it comes to my identity.
Yeah.
That I don't fall for trends.
That's good.
Nope.
That's a good trend. I think that tells me that you have kind of gotten to a comfortable level
yes.
in who you are, because I think it's easier to fall for those pressures when you really don't know where you stand as an yes. individual again. So I think it's something that people do learn over time. Yeah. You know, if you are falling for trends and you are listening to us right now, it's okay. Hey, mm-hmm. you know, we're all going to yes. get there at some point. We're not judging you very harshly, because like I said, it's really part of learning who you are is getting to that point where you're like, okay, some things can pass me by, you know, like yeah. letting go of the fear of missing out and just being like, okay, this is the things that I really want to stand by and be a part of. And then these are the things that, you know, they can really pass me by.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually a very, very good gem that you've dropped there.
Yeah. Know? Because I remember, I think it was beginning of winter where my face was just really breaking out, mm-hmm. you know, and, I don't know. There's something about social media, when it comes to when you are going through something,
yeah,
that is like the content that is presented to you. In most cases, when you go, when you open a social
right.
media platform, it's just like the things you constantly keep seeing. And I remember when I was going through that, you know, my face breaking out. I started seeing these things of, face routine, things, how to have a glowing face and all that.
Wow.
And I remember I went back to the pictures of, you know, previous pictures before winter,
mm-hmm.
and how my face was just clear. I usually have a clear face.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, do I now have to change my face products? Do I now need a new facial routine or what? Then I told myself, no, Abigail, no. You are now literally just falling for these, you know, things on social media, which are not true.
Yeah.
Because if you have, I think I just didn't keep track on the fact that winter, my face breaks out.
Mm.
So during winter, it's rare for me to have a clear face, to honest. Yes. Then I had to think and think like, okay, no. We don't need new facial products. We just have to wait for this season to pass.
Exactly.
Our face is always clear during warmer seasons compared to the colder, you know, weather. So I was like, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't fall for the consumerism because, oh my goodness, social media will convince you to buy things that...
I would have gone out there and bought new facial products and started a new facial routine just for my face to go worse.
Imagine.
Because my face is very choosy. Very, very choosy because even these particular products we are using now, I started using them, I think it was 2018.
Mm.
And after that, it's like my skin just got comfortable. So ever since then, these are the products I've been using. I haven't changed. And imagine I wanted to fall for that. Luckily, I stayed true to my identity.
Exactly.
I was like, no.
I'm glad you recognized those patterns eventually because sometimes, like you said, it's just a seasonal thing. Yes. You know, like sometimes it will be a bit strange because you've never noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's good to also, you know, sometimes that's why it's good to just step back from what everything that social media is telling you and showing and
presenting
you,
to you
and just, you know, really think to yourself and just kind of stand still. And you'll see that some of the things that you're struggling with will just resolve themselves without need for intervention, which is definitely usually my approach to things.
And now I have actually seen that now that it has started to warm up, my face is getting better because usually during colder weather, it's like every morning I wake up with a new pimple. Every morning. So my face doesn't clear off when the others are about to clear off. The other ones, they are also appearing with their spots and all that.
I'm so sorry, girl. I know it's not, you're not the only one that's struggling. I'm sure one of our listeners can relate. You know?
That it's a seasonal thing where this season your face is breaking out and the other season your face is clear as daylight and you wonder as to, okay, what is happening?
Yeah.
So what role, does community play in helping us, understand who we are?
Oh my gosh. We literally spoke about this before the commercial break and community plays a huge role.
Especially, I didn't finish my question.
Oh, my bad.
Especially in an era where traditional communities might be less prominent.
Yeah. No, you're right. So I think community in its own, whether traditional or not, because if you found a community on, even on social media, or not necessarily on social media, but via a social media platform, maybe some friends you met on Facebook or on during, some kind of deep dive on a particular topic and you came across some people who are experts or that are really knowledgeable in that area and you've reached out to them. Mm-hmm. So community is no longer just the people who are physically around you, right? But however, I think it still remains the same. These are people that have common interests or they have common values with you. And these are people that in most cases care about you and care about your well-being and people that will tell you the truth and people that will, you know, continue to inspire you to do better, right? Mm-hmm. And these are the people that I say have a huge impact on your identity and how you discover it, right? Because going back to the point that we made earlier, I think a lot of us don't know certain things about ourselves that make us unique, but the people who really spend the most time with us can tell us that effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this goes to say, you can't actually build or find your identity in isolation. That is not the way to go about it. Because a lot of people perceive that your identity is only the way that you see yourself. And that's not, it's not accurate because you will never have a 100% accurate view of who you are. So you do need perspectives from other people. You need to kind of filter out, okay, what is true about what people are saying about me and what isn't true.
Yeah.
Community's role, I think, is just in continuing to be a support structure for those people that are around you, you know, and as best as you can, helping other people to discover certain things about themselves. I think I've made it more of a priority over the years to, if I notice something about you, Abigail, whether it's something that I think you're very, you know, good at, or it's something unique about you, I would want to tell you that. Because I've realized that is one of the key ways that I have learned about myself. So sometimes something completely is off your radar. You've never even thought about that this thing is unique, or that I'm very good at this particular thing. But the moment someone brings it to your attention, you're like, actually, this might be true. And I might explore more in that line so I can eventually find what that is. So I think people should try as best as they can, whether a traditional community like your family, your friends, your church, your mentors, you know, if you're in school, your classmates, your schoolmates and so forth, whatever community means in that sense, maybe your neighbors, or even, like I said, if it's a more non-traditional community that is online, or that, you know, is not necessarily people that you physically have contact with, try to surround yourself with those people, because you will learn so, so much more about yourself. And I think be open to exploring those sides of yourself that people find interesting in you, because a lot of times those are the things that are unique about you. Those are the things that if you really dove into, you'll realize like, wow, this is something that I can align my identity with. This is something that I can turn into my brand. This is something that I can explore more and become better at. I could monetize on this, you know. I mean, we're all trying to get a side hustle. So maybe I realize like, wow, Abigail, you're really good at making these small jewelry pieces that I see here in your office, for example. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe it is something that's unique and I should do a little bit more of that. So I think community plays a huge role, bigger than what we really think. And as best as we can, we should try to be, not only to seek a good community, you know, because I really am an advocate for that. You know, I'm an advocate for finding mentors as far as possible. I have an amazing, amazing mentor who I think is listening right now. An amazing group of, you know, support structure, family, friends, and people that really pour into me. But I also try my best to be that community for other people, you know, to be the person that when someone is maybe lost or, you know, struggling to really find their standing, that I can, as best as I can, point them in a direction that would ultimately lead them to better outcome.
What's one piece of advice would you give to somebody who feels lost or overwhelmed by the pressures to be a certain way in the modern world?
Wow, that's a good one. Hey, so I think what I would start with is, I think I would start by telling that person it's okay. You know, you're not the only one that's experiencing this. A lot of us are going through it behind the scenes and struggling with our own identities, or struggling with, you know, who we think we should be, or who we think the world needs us to be, right? So it's not unique to you. And so I think that you should find consolation in that, in just knowing that it's probably a seasonal thing. This is something that you can overcome, and you will eventually find yourself, especially if you're a young person that's in your 20s and early 30s. It's, you are growing at such a fast rate that even if I said I found myself yesterday, the me that was there yesterday is not the me that's there today.
Yeah.
I have changed. My perspective has changed. I've had a new experience and I've decided that this is who I am now. So it's really a constant thing of putting in the effort. It's like you're playing a long game. You're not playing, a quick game. There's no quick, way to get over being lost, or there's no quick way to find your true self. It's really a constant process that you have to be invested in. So I think that's the first thing I'll tell them, is that it's okay. And, you know, everyone has gone through it at some point or another. And I'm sure a lot of other people around you are feeling that same way. So you have a community of people. It's just that we tend to go through these things in isolation, you know, even though I'm sure most of my peers are probably going through the same thing. Because I've never vocalized it, we never really have that opportunity to have a dialogue about it and to see how we can navigate it. My other piece of advice would then be to just like step back a little bit from all these external factors that can kind of make you feel even more lost. Something like social media. If you can, take a social media break. Or even if not social media, you know, especially myself who like I said, I can find myself consumed in being busy and constantly doing things. And sometimes I have to remind myself to take a step back and just get back to myself. Because as much as identity cannot be found in isolation, mm-hmm. a lot of times you do need that isolation to reflect a little bit and kind of decide, if I can't figure out everything right now, can I at least figure out what my next step is? So yeah. I would encourage that person to take a step back and just kind of focus on, you know, themselves, or be in a space where they can fully focus on themselves. And I would ask them to start small. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling lost, right, and maybe you're feeling kind of stuck in terms of who you're meant to be or who you want to be, just start small, right? Find out what are the things that you are passionate about. So what makes you energetic? What gives you energy? What makes you excited? You know, try to do more of those things. You know, what feels natural to me? What feels authentic? Because I can tell you, when you're feeling overwhelmed, you don't want to do things that are difficult. Mm-hmm. You completely shut down when you're thinking of doing things that are more difficult. But if there's something that comes natural to you, maybe you love to write, so you love to journal and write down your feelings and your emotions, do that. Maybe you love to sing and that's an outlet for you, do that. Yeah. You know, even if you can't sing like Abigail.
Oh my God, I will sing my lungs out.
Yes, do more of that thing that's natural to you and something that really excites you. And I think in that you'll find a little bit more inspiration to continue on that road, you know, whatever it might look like. But mm-hmm. I think starting small is important, because usually what feels most natural to you, or what gives you the most energy, is probably a fragment of the thing that you are most passionate about, or something that really defines your identity on a large scale, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important to then, in that moment, surround yourself with people that, one, accept you for who you are. So people that don't expect you to be anyway, right? And most of the time, that is not social media. Mm-hmm. Because social media does come with its own expectations. And so communicate to your people, the people that can encourage you, the people that can help lift you up in that moment, the people that can give you a sense of direction. Surround yourself with those people. Even if it's just one person that feels like a safe space in that moment,
yeah.
communicate with that person and try to figure out what your next steps are, right? And I think it's also then important for us to, I want to end this off by just saying that I think a lot of us have this misconception that identity is about, you know, finding the person that you need to become, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's about, you know, this version of yourself, like the best version of yourself. Yeah. And it's not always that. I think identity at its core, it's really just more about finding out more about who you already are mm-hmm. at your core. So I think that's something that I want people to take away. You don't have to gravitate or graduate towards your identity. You know, it's not this far-fetched person that is in your mind. No, it's actually who you already are, and just uncovering more of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you share? Can you share a personal story or a moment when you had to make a conscious effort to disconnect from external noise, to reconnect with yourself? Mm-hmm. I think I also have a story to share here.
I'm excited for your story. I'm excited for your story. But I think I will say that I have a lot of these moments.
Yeah.
Especially as of lately. This year has probably been, you know, one of the most intentional years where I really have been taking out time to reconnect with myself. And to just shut out the background noise, the external noise, and just go into a little corner and try to figure myself out. I think, if I have to be honest, and I think a lot of people who, you know, have been around me, people who know me, would know this about me, right?
Yeah.
This is probably the year I've battled the most with my identity mm-hmm. in terms of probably being on the verge of an identity crisis, because as you grow older, it's like there's this nagging feeling of like, but no man, who am I really?
Yeah.
I need to find out who this person mm-hmm. is. Who is this Ellie? You
and
know?
The noise also.
Exactly. The noise does affect that as well. And mm-hmm. you find yourself in a position where you're like, but is this really me? You know, and I think for me, I experienced that with everything, you know, whether it's my friendships, like, are these friendships really aligning with who I am mm-hmm. at work? Is this really a job that that aligns with who I want to be? And is it something that is taking away from me, or is it pouring into me? And is it, you know, is this a temporary stop, or is it where I see myself in the long run? You know, I've had to ask myself a lot of similar types of questions over mm-hmm. this entire year. And I'll tell you, every few months I've had to take a break. Even recently, I had to take a break because I felt like I was on the verge of burnout. I felt like I was just doing too much. Yeah. I was thinking too much. I was feeling too much. I was doing a little bit of everything at a rate that I just couldn't really keep up with sustainably. Mm-hmm. So I had to really, as best as I can, obviously I can't disappear from the world. You know, I can't just decide I'm not going to go to work the next day, or I can't just decide I'm going to completely isolate myself from my family, friends and people that I care about. But in the small steps that I can, I tried my best to be more intentional about the things that I did do, and spending more time with just myself, where yeah. there wasn't much of social media. I deactivated whatever accounts I needed to. I went on a break from posting where I needed to. Mm-hmm. I just decided, you know what?
This digital is just time. Digital detox.
Digital detox is very important, guys. It really is once in a while. Because sometimes you don't need to be consuming more. You yeah. need to be creating more, or doing more that is just coming from who you are, that is flowing, you know. For me, I'm a writer and I'm a speaker. Those are the things that come naturally to me. So I had to do a little bit more of that so I can properly reflect on, where am I right now in terms of my identity, in terms of who I want to be, and where am I going? You know, what steps mm-hmm. am I taking to get to that person? Which people should I seek out as mentors, or as, you know, teachers to get to where I need to be? You know, how should I surround myself with the people who care about me? Do I need them more in this moment? Do I need them less in this moment? It's just that it's a constant thing. So I think I would really encourage people to take not only digital detox, but as far as possible, whenever you can, just take a step back to reflect. It can just be over a weekend where you're like, you know what, this weekend, I'm not putting anything on my agenda, which I really struggle with. I really struggle with it. Yeah. It's difficult for a weekend to pass by and I have nothing at all going on. There's always something for someone or for, you know, but I really try to be like, okay, this weekend is just for me. Just for me to reflect, for me to spend time on my own, spend time with God, and, you know, really connecting with God, if you believe in God, which I advocate for everybody to. But just connecting with something that feels natural, it doesn't yeah. feel forced, and it doesn't require anything out of you. Mm. I think that's definitely what I would advocate for. Uh-huh. What's your story, Abigail? Tell us about your story.
You know, one thing I can tell you is that you haven't reached your 30s. Mm-hmm. One thing I can tell you is that there's these expectations from a young woman who has turned 30 years old.
Wow.
You know.
In society.
Yeah, in society. And these expectations, sometimes they can be so much. Mm. And for me, I think the most pressing is the fact that I'm the only sibling who doesn't have a child.
Wow.
All my father's kids, younger than me, older than me, they've all given grandkids.
That's crazy.
Right? So there was a moment when so much noise was coming in. Mm. You know, yeah, you need to make one. What if you died now?
What?
Are you going to leave us just like that? You know, we need something to remember you on.
Like your family.
So much. Like so much. And you know, I started asking myself like, okay, am I doing something wrong not having a child? Mm. You know, because, I have a plan, and I want that plan to, you know, it's not like always when you have a plan, it has to play out the way you plan it, right?
Exactly.
But also just doing something you don't want to do just because society or there are people in your ear trying to say you should do, you have to do it. No. So now it got to a point when I was questioning myself as a person as to like, okay, are you doing something wrong not having a child? And you know, the pressure started in my late 20s before my 30s, you know.
stories of. It's very difficult to have a child in your 30s and all that. So it was a lot until I just decided, you know what? I'm shutting the noise out. I'm not listening to anybody. I will have kids when I want to, when I feel that I am ready in whatever aspect of my life that I want to be ready before I bring any little human being into this world.
Wow, Abigail, that's a powerful story, hey? And it's such a great example of pressures that a lot of us experience in everyday life, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, your plan is really your plan. And I mean, the people around you, for the most part, obviously they mean the best, right? However, they don't realize how much these pressures they're putting on you actually affect you.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually are so strong for saying, you know what? I hear all the noise, but I'm going to shut it out. Because so many people would not have been able to, you know, I mean, someone else might have had a child simply because of those pressures. And it's really unfortunate because you're not ready for that. But it's not only having children. You, like you said, society has so many other pressures they put on us, you know, go to school. You need to, you know, obviously I advocate for going to school by all means. But again, everyone is an individual and we all have unique talents, unique gifts. And it's not to say that each and every person's gift requires them to go through university and get a master's and get a PhD. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have slightly different, you know, paths that we're going to be taking. And it's not just school, it's down to so many different things that we can have, you know, these pressures exerted on us from even the people that we do care about most.
Yeah.
So that's where, like you're saying, it really helps when you know yourself and you know your own timing and you know what you want out of life. Because when those external voices become a lot, you can always go back internally and say, is this aligning with the person that I am or the person that I want to be? If not, what boundaries do I need to set in place to protect myself from these pressures? Mm-hmm. So that's a really great example, honestly.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I honestly did, you know, just shut the noise down and reconnect with myself in terms of, okay, you are doing the right thing and this is something that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to do it because there is a certain expectation from you as a woman in her 30s now and all that. So now even when people try, because usually these questions or these comments, it's things that I experience at family gatherings, mostly at family gatherings, you know, and if all my siblings come with their kids and there's introductions and all that, and then people ask, and where is yours?
Oh.
I'm like,
that's actually, your families can be so unhinged. Your families, we love them, hey, but they can be so unhinged.
Oh my God.
And it can be such a trigger, honestly.
Yes. It used to be for me back then, but now it's like I'm so unbothered because I know what I'm doing. You know, I know who I am. I know what I want at the end of the day. So I'm just so unbothered at the end of the day. Like, I just don't care.
Wow. That's a beautiful trait to have.
Yes.
You know, not all of us can be unbothered.
Yes. You know, I am a proud 30-something young woman, unmarried, without child. I don't care. So, yeah.
And I'm glad that you actually are comfortable in that because you're like, I know what I'm doing. I'm building something bigger for myself or something different. And my season will eventually come, you know?
Yes. And also, you know, it's also a question that I usually ask in most cases, like, why do we make marriage and having kids like it's some sort of identity? Why do we do that?
Valid.
Like, if you are not married, you are lacking something. If you don't have kids, you are lacking something. Why do we do that? We are not supposed to do that, you know? Me as a single person without kids, that is an identity and that should be accepted by society, that it's normal, right? Okay, now I'm advocating.
I think we still live in a very conservative world and very conservative country. And I think, obviously, marriage is beautiful. Having kids is beautiful.
Yes.
And it has its own time for everybody. I think that's what people don't really appreciate, is that it has its own time for everybody. Some people would get married and have kids much younger.
Mm-hmm.
And even they are judged because they're like, oh, but you're not even mature enough to have a family yet. Like, why are you getting married so young? And then on the other side, it's the same. You know, people are judged for marrying much older because it has become a part of, you know, society's identity, you know, like, and it's unfortunate because so many people, remember when I was talking about how when I was younger, I defined myself according to the communities that I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And some people never outgrow that. Some people, even beyond, you know, their 30s, 40s and their entire lifetimes, they continue to define themselves yes. according to their roles or their titles.
Mm-hmm.
I am a manager. That is my identity. I am mm-hmm. a mother. I am a wife. I am a whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know. And there's nothing wrong because those are things that are part of your identity. But if you let those titles or the roles be your only identity, then you are never going to really be able to dig deeper and say, okay, beyond all that, who am I really? So that's a thing that I really would advocate, or I would wish that our people would move away from defining their identity according to the roles that they play in society and expecting others to also define their identity according to roles they play in society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, identity. I don't think a lot of us really know what identity is. And I think my advice, I don't know how I forgot when you were advising anybody who's listening out there.
Mm.
I also wanted to give this advice in terms of we also need to, you know, put effort in trying to know who we are as individuals.
Yes.
What is your identity? You know, if I have to ask majority of you now who are listening, who are tuned in, what is your identity? I don't know what you were going to answer me.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to hear those answers. And if you can come through and share with us what is your identity, we would appreciate it. The number is 083-288-401. Now we are almost done. We move to the almost last but not least question. So what would you tell parents the most important conversations they should be having with their children about identity in the digital era?
So, you know, I think parents play such a huge role in making up an individual's identity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will actually go into a story later on about, you know, how I feel about identity and parenting for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the biggest conversations that we should be having is that we need to reinforce the idea that individuality and uniqueness is like a currency, or it's one of the most important things about yourself, right? Because like we said, we live in a world where because of the fact that we are all listening to the same 5 songs, watching the same TikTok videos, doing the same thing and kind of seeing the same curated lives, we end up being kind of replicas of one another. You know, it seems like everyone is interested in the same thing.
Mm.
And I think parents should really try their best to encourage their young ones to embrace what's different about them, to embrace that uniqueness, those unique traits about them, down to whether it's physical traits, personality traits. If you have a child that's extroverted and really loud and, you know, full of life, then that makes them different, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that should be something they should embrace already from a young age. If you have a child that's more introverted and introspective and, you know, their unique trait is that they are really good at observing people and making, you know, unique contributions based on that, then that should be something that they should really tap deeper into. Because I think if you struggle, if you come from an environment where you struggle to express your uniqueness or your individuality when you're young, I think you're really going to struggle to find your identity even as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give an example, right? I think especially those of us that have parents who are from, you know, the older generations, right? A lot of times, I think, for example, I'll give an example of myself, right? I'm very extroverted, and I think I was extroverted for a very long time, ever since I can remember. Yes. I'm what I call an extreme extrovert. I like to tell people that because
mm-hmm.
I'm on the extreme spectrum of extroversion. You know, I love people. I love everything that has
you
to
like
do
being
with
out there.
I do. I absolutely love it. It's mm-hmm. it's what gives me energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, when I was younger, you know, my parents did a very good job, but this is more about the community that you're raised in.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about you know, children should be seen and not heard, you know, like you shouldn't be so curious. And I was a curious child. I would ask 100 questions a day. I was that kid. So I was probably very annoying, you know?
Yeah.
And so there was a moment in time when I was growing up where my extroverted traits were not always nurtured, or I was not always encouraged to tap more into that. So it came a point where I started to become more introverted. So I think all throughout my primary school, I was introverted. Anyone that knows me from back then would be like, you know, but you were always so quiet. Like, what happened to you?
Yeah.
And I don't think that was who I truly was. I think it was just an expression because of how I got so used to the world or the people around me kind of expressing, oh my gosh, you're so loud and you're so this and so that. I think I internalized that for a long time. And I was like, okay, maybe I should be more quiet. Other kids are quiet. I should be more quiet.
Yeah.
And it's only when I got a lot older, you know, when I passed my high school years that I started to be more extroverted again. And I was like, but this is what always felt natural to me.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of divert from that identity because of, you know, I let other, you know, external voices kind of get into my head. So that's kind of going back to the conversation about parenting and also just the community around young people. We really need to encourage young people to be their individual and their authentic selves, whatever that means for that person. If you've always had a very loud and out there laugh and we can hear from miles away, your Abigail is laughing there.
Yeah.
Then that's what's unique about you. You know, I don't have to curate your laugh to fit what you think people would appreciate it to be or whatever. And that can be said about any trait of yours. So I think that's really the role that parents play, is just trying our best to make sure that the future generations embrace that uniqueness more and express it openly. Because I think that's really what stands out in a world where authenticity is becoming more and more rare.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I've always been a very like, confident child.
Oh,
I think
wow.
If I say that, and it actually took a while to realize that I'm really a confident individual, but I tried to hide it because of, you know, the things that were said to me as a child. You will not complete school. You will not even reach a junior secondary. You will get pregnant.
What?
You know, you are too...
You're too out there.
Yes, you know.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, and I think it's also something that I usually say in a joking manner as to probably this is why I made sure that I do not even accidentally get pregnant.
Yeah. It's true. Because it was in your head, because people already put it on you.
Yes. That's... Like it was constantly in my head as to like, okay, you will not even reach, you know, junior secondary. You will get pregnant. You are too sharp, you know. It's only later on that I realized that you are just a very confident individual. You are smart and you are very open, you know, to even individuals.
Yeah.
Growing up, I would be around friends or just acquaintances, because obviously they were not all my friends.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. At that age. And, you know, a stranger would try to interact and everybody would just be like, okay, I know we are advised as children not to interact with strangers and all that. But there are certain interactions with strangers that you could have. Maybe an elder is just asking for a direction or something.
Yeah.
So you respond. In most cases, I would always be very outspoken, you know, try to engage with strangers, whether it's strangers or people that I know, I would always try to engage. Whereas others will just, you know, just keep quiet or just shy away, not engage.
Abigail, you and I seem to be very similar. I think you and I were very similar as young people. And I guess even now so, because I was also that person, you know, like I'm that person that I'll meet a stranger and for whatever reason, I think people just find it easy to open up to me. So I'll literally be talking to someone I've never met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I will, even as a child, my mom will be like, oh, who's that? Do you know that person? And I'm like, no, I just met them. I just, you know, and it's unique about, you know, extroverted people. And I think that's a gift and that's really something that you want to tap into more. So it's very dangerous. I think adults, we should try our best to stay away from putting such negative things onto children.
Yes.
That is a child. No one had any business telling you you're not going to reach senior secondary, you're going to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No one had any business putting that on you, because even if those things if you don't realize the impact of those things, psychologically, they definitely affect you, even going very into adulthood. Much. And it's such a negative thing to put onto such a young person.
Yes.
Someone who has no identity yet, no fault technically yet. Mm-hmm. So it's always unfortunate. I think the small ways in which the previous generation really let us down when it comes to as we were growing up. And I think we should mm-hmm. really try our best as, you know, future parents to break those cycles, but not just parents, you know, even if you have a niece, nephew, cousin,
yes,
just, you know, speaking life into mm-hmm. children as they are forming their identity will make them a lot more confident mm-hmm. as they grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's actually what I really try to do as an aunt.
Yeah.
You know, I have so many nephews and nieces. So I just really try to have those conversations that I wish, an elder mm-hmm. had such type of conversations with me, because there was so much, traumatic, situations or events that yeah. I went through, and mm-hmm. I feel they were so unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because this adult just didn't know probably how to communicate
exactly
in a manner that I would understand, as well as, you know, try to do as they are saying or as they are advising me.
Yeah.
So I think the older generation, they really failed us, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we can't blame them. Probably.
Yeah, of course.
It's also emanating from how they used to have conversations mm-hmm. with their elderly and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my advice to you guys as parents, when it comes to conversations of, you know, identity with your children, please have open conversations with your children. Mm-hmm. If you can see that my child is very confident, they like to speak publicly or mm-hmm. they like to sing or they like to do this, you know, try to find a way and help them nurture.
Yeah.
That thing.
Exactly.
Don't go to them with words as to, okay, you are going to get kidnapped.
Oh, that's
terrible. You like to talk to
no
anybody and anything, you know. No. Let's have conversations that are going to be helpful.
Exactly.
To our children trying to find their identity in this digital age.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the last point of discussion. It's
yeah.
now 10 minutes to the hour of 6 o'clock. What gives you the most hope for the future of human identity and authenticity?
What gives me the most hope? So I think it's a few things. It's a handful of things.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think even just this conversation that we had right here gives me hope, right?
Yeah.
Because someone is going to listen to this and pick out, even if it's one thing that we said, and that one thing will contribute to helping them shape their identity further, right? Because sometimes all you need is like a little seed, you know, something mm-hmm. you hear somewhere that kind of triggers that, intention to be like, okay, I want to also be more intentional about finding myself, finding what is unique about me and trying to tap and explore more of that. So these spaces that allow for young people to express themselves in unique ways, or platforms that allow us to have the conversation, the dialogue that's needed to keep us making progress when it comes to our identities. Those things really give me hope, you know, for a future where more people are going to be embracing their uniqueness. But also just, you know, I love children, right? I really love yeah. children. I have a lot of conversation with children and, you know, young people generally, I would say. Mm-hmm. And every time I speak to a young person, I realize that, you know, this new generation has such a unique way of looking at things. They are so bright and they're really so different in a
yeah,
lot of ways.
Yeah, they are very different.
They are advancing at a rate that is insane, you yeah. know? They know things that I only found out way later in yes. life. And, you know, it gives me hope because I'm like, they're going to have the tools to solve some of the problems that we have currently.
Mm-hmm.
Even the problems that are going to arise from this digital age and from AI and all those things. I really believe that if we nurture them the right way, that they are actually going to come up with some of the most innovative ways for us to tackle some of the issues that we are currently facing. So every time I have a conversation with a young person, for the most part, I always walk away thinking, wow, this is actually amazing. I it leaves me with so much hope as to how they're going to be conducting themselves when they are adults at our stage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely one of the things that gives me hope. Every time I might see a glimmer of someone that's being unique, maybe someone that's dressed in a very different and unique way. And that gives me hope because there are still people that are very expressive about their identity, you know, and that for me, something very beautiful, because sometimes all it takes is seeing someone else doing something that we are maybe afraid to do. Maybe you've always wanted to express yourself in a certain way, whether it's vocally, you've always wanted to also be on the radio and expressing your thoughts and your inputs. And you see Ellie and Abigail, you hear us on the radio and you say, you know what? If Ellie and Abigail can do it, then I can too. And you surely can, right? So mm-hmm. those glimmers of people doing, people being bold enough to do the things that other people might be afraid of doing or that are really aligned with their true selves and people that are expressing their true talents and gifts, that always gives me hope that it will inspire other people to do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, as I wrap up, I think all those different things give me a lot of hope.
Wow. What a conversation. What a conversation. It is now 6 minutes to the hour of six, and we have come to the end of today's crossover with Ellie. Any last words?
Any last words? I completely encourage people to dig deep, right, into who they are, right, and find, even if it's that one thing that you think is unique about you and you've always wanted to tap more into it. And I want to challenge everybody that's listening to this, especially those that actually made it here with us till the very end. And I want you to take this as a challenge, you know. Not too long ago, I was just like you, and I am still like you, trying to figure myself out, trying to figure my identity out, and trying to do more of the things that I know are my God-given gifts or the things that I know are coming very naturally to me. And I too was afraid to take the first step, and I too was very hesitant about what that would look like. What would people say if they saw me doing this and this or expressing myself in these ways or whatever that is? But even with that fear, like, I encourage you to be bold and still take whatever step is needed to get to where you envision yourself, right? To continue to push yourself out of your comfort zone. To continue to learn and explore and grow, you know, read more books, speak to more people that are aligned with where you want to be and have those conversations that are really going to agitate you to greatness, right? So I think that's just my challenge to everyone. It's just take that one step. It doesn't have to be a big step, but just do that one thing that you've really been dreading, because I can guarantee you it always leads to either another great opportunity for you to discover yourself more. Or even if it doesn't go great, then you've learned that lesson and you can always take it with you wherever you go. So yeah, that's definitely my message for today's Sunday going into this week of us celebrating heroes. I mean, be your own hero. Hey, do that thing that is scary and that, makes you hesitant to do, but do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Ellie, for coming through.
Thank you for having me, Abigail. I always have such a fun time here in the studio. Like, I always want to come back every time, even if it's going to be the next winter. I will definitely be back.
Hopefully before the end of this year, I will definitely invite you again.
Oh, I'd love that.
A very educative conversation. Thank you so much for coming through, and I wish you a very productive week ahead.
Likewise, Abigail. I really hope that you make the most of this week.
Well, thank you. I need it. I have a lot of things to do.
Yep. Don't forget, you still have that Aston Martin that you're dreaming of getting. So
Will I ever get it?
Everything that you do, think of that Aston Martin and let that encourage you.
Well, I will keep that in mind. And for those who are listening to us, wherever you are, well, I wish you a great evening ahead. And of course, have a productive week ahead of you. Until next Sunday, same time, same place. From me, Abigail, it is adios. Leaving you with the sounds of Akon on this one titled Don't Matter. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh,
nobody thought we'd last forever. I feel I'm hoping and praying things between us don't get better. Men steady coming after you, women steady coming after me. Seems like everybody wanna go for self and don't wanna respect boundaries. Telling you all those lies just to get on your side. But I must admit there was a couple secrets I held inside. But just know that I tried to always apologize. And I'ma have you first, I ways in my heart to keep you satisfied. Of a queen you are to me and why I